The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent them. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone was put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquestionable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown in to Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die, the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. The first reading we had today was from the book of Numbers, and it says that God spoke to Moses in a cloud. I was reflecting on it. It made me think of some experience I think we all have, that sometimes God seems to be hidden and we just don't know where he's at. You see, the Israelites, they had left Egypt. They had been enslaved by the Egyptian Pharaoh. Moses showed up and said, "God's plan is that we're going to leave here and go to the promised land." And so off they went, and they got as far as the Red Sea, and all of a sudden the Egyptian army was chasing after them, and they realized that that was going to be the end of the story right there. They would never make it to the promised land. And then all of a sudden God appears and parts the Red Sea, and they have that miraculous event of passing through to the other side, and then the water comes back and the Egyptian army is no more, and it seems like everything's going to be great. We're on to the promised land, and then next thing you know, they're wandering in the desert for 40 years, going in circles. And even when they get to the promised land, it's not even ready for them. They have to then go and kind of conquer it piece by piece. You see, their dealings with God were not easy. And that's part of the reason why when Moses goes up to the mountaintop and he's there, he doesn't see God. It's a cloud and God's speaking to him. The people at the bottom, remember what they do? They take their gold and silver, they make an image of a golden calf, and they begin to worship that calf. Not because they wanted a different God, but they wanted to be able to put God in a box, you could say. They wanted one they could see and touch and control. Well, Moses had that experience of experiencing being with God but not seeing him. I think if we're all honest, and I personally would have to say, at times I wonder where God is. And some of you are probably wondering, why is the priest saying that, right? Well, I can remember, you know, as a teenager, we've probably all done it at some point in our life. You're maybe out camping or something. You're out under a beautiful starry night, and you can't help but think, you know, wow, the cosmos is amazing. God must be amazing. And you ask God, you know, if you're up there, can you show me, can you give me a sign that you really are there? Just one little shooting star. That's it. And if I see that, then I'll know you're real, and I'll believe in you, and I won't even tell anyone, right? It'll just be between you and me. It seems like such a simple, logical request, and yet 99 out of 100 times, the shooting star never happens, right? When I was a seminarian in the very beginning, I remember the schedule of a seminary is kind of like a military barracks, you could say. It's pretty regimented, and you're up early in the morning, the bell would ring, and you'd go to the chapel, you'd have your morning prayers together, and then you would go back to your room, and you would be in your room for an hour, and that was when you were supposed to be praying for an hour, your morning meditation, we called it. And at the beginning, it sounded kind of interesting. Wow, I'm going to go and talk to God for an hour. That's great. And now our rooms were very small and Spartan. There was this kneeler, one of those little movable kneelers up against the wall, just a blank white wall there. And that's kind of where you would kneel down, and with your Bible, you would read it and reflect on it and think holy thoughts. And that was your prayer. And as the days went on, 3 months into that, so this would have been sometime around December, I was just in a bad mood. Maybe I hadn't had my coffee. Whatever it was, I was like kneeling in front of a blank wall. I said, I've been here for 3 months asking God to speak to me, and I don't think I've done more than stare at a blank wall for 3 months. This isn't fair. Like, God, you know, I'm trying hard. Just give me something. You're probably wondering, okay, well, hopefully there's another ending of the story, right? Well, if you go to the gospel today or the readings, it's the theme of not being able to put God in a box is there, right? Moses needed help, so he has a plan. He's going to choose 70 men that would be the elders and sort of solve the problems for him. And so he makes his list. He's got the 70 guys there. They all show up except for two of them. And they show up at that, you know, sacred spot where the Spirit of God would come down, but Meldad and Edad are off fishing or something, and the Spirit of the Lord comes on those 68 men, but it also comes on those two. And it doesn't seem right to the Israelites, and they go to Moses, and Moses just sort of shrugs it off, and he says, you know, it would be great if everyone could receive God's Spirit, so he wasn't concerned. And then in the gospel, the same thing sort of happens. The 12 apostles are proud of themselves, right? They've been chosen. Jesus gave them special powers to throw out demons and stuff, and they're having a great time being important, and they show up at some random village, and perhaps Jesus sent John and some on an errand, so they're going through the village, and all of a sudden there's this no-name Jim Bob there who's using Jesus' name to do miracles, right? And it's like, that's not fair. He's not one of us. He wasn't chosen. And they're sort of angry. They go back to Jesus thinking Jesus was going to be upset. And Jesus basically has an answer like Moses saying, right, you know, the Spirit of the Lord blows where it wills. I guess that theme of not being able to put God in a box is my answer to why sometimes God seems to be hidden. When you're up in the cloud in the mountain, if you've ever been hiking and a fog rolls in, you really can't see a whole lot. But perhaps there's someone in front of you who knows the way and you can barely see them, but you're sort of walking after them and you don't want to give up walking, you don't want to lose them, so you're trying to be close. God sometimes, I think, is just one step ahead of us so that we can be following him, because he does want to bring us to the promised land. Now, God eventually did answer my prayers, right? I wouldn't be here today, probably. But it wasn't the way I expected, right? All my stories from Haiti and missionary work, all those little miracles along the way, I never would have expected that. I believe you have to learn to listen to God's voice in those unexpected places. Perhaps we can say to learn God's language and not tell God to speak my language. That's putting God in a box. You bring your problems to God and you tell God, this is what you're going to do to solve them, right? And yet God's way of solving our problems is so much greater than ours. And so if you're today struggling with maybe just those unanswered prayers to those wishes for a shooting star, right? And you're maybe a teenager here who's asking those teenager questions, right? That's okay. We all do it. If you have a medical illness that you don't understand, or a relationship issue in your family, or a financial hardship, it's okay to ask those questions to God. But when you come in, let's just put those problems on the altar and say, God, I'm going to let you be God in my life. You can answer these problems in your way. In making peace with a hidden God, a God who's so spontaneous, he shows up here and there, but you can never really grasp onto him, right? Like Mary Magdalene, she sees him in the resurrection. She grabs Jesus and he says, not yet, don't hold on to me yet. We'll receive him in heaven. So it's, as a Christian, it's not like we have all the answers. I'm perfectly fine for saying to you, I don't know why God hides all the time, right? But when we get to heaven, we'll get the full answer. The part answer, the half answer is, let's never give up. A saint is someone who never makes peace with not being able to find God or see God. They always desire him more, and they never give up following wherever he will lead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.